What's up, everybody? Welcome to the TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. I'm Thomas.
I'm Tyson.
I studied exercise physiology and competed in many various sports ranging from wrestling to ultra running. I use that knowledge to combine today's science with ancient wisdom to live an optimal lifestyle and to spread that information onto the masses.
I'm a lifelong weightlifter and I'm obsessed with health and wellness. My degree in biology, with an emphasis in neurobiology, physiology, and behavior, allows me to take a deep dive into the most current literature and bring that information to you.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you'd like to show your support, please rate and review on your favorite podcast provider, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or SoundCloud. Also, sign up on our website, tntwellnessandnutrition.com, for all of our up-to-date content.
Let's get this started.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. This is episode 122. Today, we're going to be talking about soy baby formula and really all the problems with that. If you know anything about our podcast, if you know anything about me personally, you know I'm not a fan of soy at all. So we can talk about this stuff forever. So, yeah, Tom, you want to just talk about briefly, I guess, why we wanted to talk about this?
I do want to say that I've never been more like upset, more angry putting together some notes than I did putting these like together. There's just so much wrong, and I can't believe like this is one of the first things that like people feed their babies. It's extremely upsetting, and I don't blame like the parents out there. It's just like they've just been lied to about like what is considered healthy, and it's extremely upsetting.
Yeah, they've been misled really, I mean literally since day one. And we have a podcast on soy, so you can go back and listen to that if you want. Today it's going to be a little different because we're going to talk specifically about soy baby formula and the real like nitty-gritty problems with that. So we're going to go more in detail with that specifically. But one of my buddies, he's had a few kids now. Maybe, I forget, I'm horrible at time. Maybe like 5 years ago, he had his first kid. And the mom had a little bit of issue developing or producing enough milk, which happens, you know what I mean? Not damning her or nothing like that. That happens sometimes no matter what the woman tries to do. Just, you can't produce enough milk. And it's just the options available to us are so limited, you know? And the biggest, section in the grocery store for baby formula is going to have soy in it. You know, it's just, that's just your one option. And, so he gave his, daughter the soy baby formula. He told me about it. It made me upset. And it kind of spurred me on to really get the word out there that soy is not healthy and in any way, shape or form, I can really care less. And they really, I guess, pushed me to speak up. And it's not that this is like the biggest podcast in the world. Obvious, it's not. We don't have the biggest website in the world, but at least we've affected some people. And if we can just switch one person from a soy formula to a milk-based formula, then I think we've done some good, you know?
Oh, 100%. And this is going to be like the first episode of a little series that we're going to do. So this one, we're going to talk about how bad soy baby formula is. Next week, we're going to talk about, I don't know, it's either going to be a part two of this episode if this one goes a little longer, or it'll be what we actually should be like feeding our babies if, like in your friend's case where the mother wasn't able to produce enough milk, like what are actual healthy baby formulas. And then we're going to end to like what should like toddlers and what like babies that are actually consuming food, what should they be eating? So we're going to do a little like baby series right now.
Yeah, exactly. So I want to just briefly mention, I'm going to have a bunch of quotes on this one. I'm pulling a lot of these from the book. It's called The Whole Soy Story, The Dark Side of America's Favorite Health Food. And this is by Danielle Kayla. And this book was a very powerful book all about soy. If you're interested, I'll link the book to this post on the website. So you can just go click it and it'll go straight to Amazon. You can buy it. It's a very good book. If you want to learn about soy, literally everything about soy, the history, all the macronutrients, all the micronutrients, then you read that book. But yeah, just to start off, people just think creating some sort of baby formula, like it should be scientific or at least like a known commodity, but it's not. Baby formula is a money-making venture. Companies cut costs everywhere, and we know this, just to make more profit. So in the case of like formula, they don't use butterfat or lactose because that costs so much. So they use these cheap vegetable oils and high fructose corn syrup as replacements to make more money. People think that since like it involves babies, it should be like more wholesome, or there should be like rules, but there's not. Like, this is just processed junk. There's nobody regulating that.
And from a manufacturing standpoint, like, you know, creating a baby product is genius because everybody was a baby at some point, and there's going to be so many more babies like in the future. So like, that's such a great like target audience because they're always going to be there.
Yeah, no matter what. Exactly. And the first myth I really want to debunk is that soy and soy formula have been used in Asian cultures for thousands of years. You hear that all the time, especially from people who are pro-soy. Like, no, you know, Japanese, Chinese, Asian, whatever, they use soy forever. That's not true. It's not even close. Soy formula was made in the West. Like, soy was originally used as a cover crop or a green manure due to its ability to fix nitrogen, not as a food source. You want to touch on that?
Yeah, so in China, they've been growing soy for, you know, thousands and thousands of years.
So like, that part's like true. Soy. That's true.
Yeah, that part's true. But what they weren't doing is they weren't eating it. They weren't growing it so they could eat it. They were growing it because it was a cover crop, so it would help out their other crops grow better because it fixed nitrogen to the soil. So it was great to have a, like, to grow that along with food products. So soy wasn't food itself. It was there to support the growth of actual food.
And that is like, I don't know, the little devil in the details and something I talk about a lot. There's so many like half truths in this industry where people say something. It's like, yeah, that's kind of true, but they don't give you the whole story. And that's one of the big ones there. Like, soy was never used to eat. And it's just, it wasn't until fairly recently that they started to actually use it.
Yeah, it just requires too much processing to really be used as a food product. There's so many anti-nutrients in it. We talked about that a lot in the soy podcast that we did, I don't know, a couple years ago, a year and a half ago. Yeah, you have to ferment it so much to get rid of a lot of the anti-nutrients. Yeah, you have to ferment it because there's so many anti-nutrients, and that's the only way to make it edible. That's the only way to get the nutrients out of it is if you ferment it. And not only that, you're not even really eating it as a food source. You're using it as a condiment. You're eating that on the side. You're dipping some fish in your soy sauce. You're, you know, you're something like that. You're not really eating it as a side or as a meal.
Yeah, exactly. So the first documented use of soy in baby formula was 1909. And the first usage of soy-based infant formula in the East didn't occur until 1928 by someone named Ernest So. And this is a quote from him. So he states that its nutrition properties as a food for young infants are practically unknown. So's formula consisted of wet ground soybean flour supplemented with salt, sugar, and other substances. After carrying out metabolic studies, he concluded that the calcium was inadequate. By 1931, he had not only added calcium lactate, but also more sugar and sodium chloride, plus cod liver oil for vitamin A and D, and cabbage water for vitamin C. So soy itself didn't provide enough nutrients. He had to add stuff to it. And again, this was in 1930s. So the whole idea that, oh, we've been using soy since, you know, Jesus' time, not true.
Yeah, not to mention that still after you add all those other supplements to it, it's still not nutritionally complete. It's still lacking a lot of other vitamins.
Yeah, it is, 100%. Just tell them what they have to do to actually make soy milk.
So the first thing you have to do is you get soybeans, you have to soak them in water, and then expose them to very high temperatures and a lot of pressure. And what this does is it damages all the anti-nutrients just so you can make this food edible. Well, all that pressure and heat, it turns the fat rancid, and most of the nutrients and proteins, it's not even a complete protein, so I'm using the word protein kind of sparingly, are destroyed. So after you do that, you get this product. Then you have to add a bunch of synthetic vitamins, and also you have to add a bunch of sweeteners to it too, just to make it taste okay and somewhat healthy. Yeah, that doesn't sound like something our ancestors would have been doing. Like, it doesn't seem like it's worth all that work. And to just create a product that you have to add a bunch of nutrients to later on, it just seems like our ancestors would have been a little bit smarter and just would have avoided this altogether, avoid all that work, and just drink cow's milk instead.
Yeah, exactly. And in the early days of soy formula, many infants suffered from vitamin A deficiencies. And one of the worst cases reported was a soy formula-fed baby diagnosed with something called keratomalacia. Totally did not pronounce that right, but that's okay. It's
keratomalacia.
There you go. It's an eye disease in which the cornea is dry and ulcerated as a result of severe vitamin A deficiencies. And that's because vitamin A does not exist at all in the plant kingdom. Like, real vitamin A, retinol, does not exist. Beta-carotene does. And adults have the capacity to turn beta-carotene into retinol a little bit. It's not very good, but we can kind of. Babies don't. So they need true vitamin A from animal-sourced foods, not from soy, and not from some, like, shit legume. So the Chinese, they solved this problem with vitamin A by adding cod liver oil. The Americans, they still kind of had that misconception that retinol was actually found in plant food, or at least that babies had the capacity to turn beta carotene into retinol, but it really, it's just not true. You know what I mean? Because they just can't. And that's what caused these problems with vitamin A deficiencies. And Tom mentioned earlier that soy is not a complete protein. That's because it's really limiting in the amino acid methionine. Early infant formulas had a problem with growth because of this. So they had to add methionine to the formula by law. Like, they have to add it to it because it's not there. It doesn't occur naturally. And they also have to add carnitine, which is required to get fat into our mitochondria. They have to add taurine, which is another conditionally essential amino acid, and which babies use as an antioxidant and to form bile acids, which are kind of used to break down and emulsify fat so we can better absorb things. Mineral absorption in soy formula is low because of the anti-nutrients. And if you haven't heard us talk about anti-nutrients, I recommend you listen to the first soy podcast because we break down a lot there. But the one really high in soy is phytates. And phytates, you can think of anti-nutrients as, honestly, just like toxins. You can think of it like that. They don't help the body at all. They just hurt the body. So phytates bind to minerals, and they make them non-absorbable by the body. And so this makes soy manufacturers add 20% more calcium and phosphorus to their formulas to make up for the amount of mineral absorbed, or excuse me, amount of minerals bound by phytates, which don't get absorbed. So phytates are really a big problem. People don't think they are because, you know, I guess people just don't talk about anti-nutrients, but they're very powerful. And the studies show this. So here's a quote. As early as 1967, researchers found that phytates cause zinc deficiency unless the formula contained high levels of supplemented zinc. Even with additional zinc, high phytate levels in soy formula cause a worsening of symptoms in a child with
acrodermatitis enteropathia. Acrodermatitis enteropathica.
There you go.
I don't know.
You're better at this than me. So that is a rare disease caused by zinc malabsorption and marked by skin inflammation, hair loss, diarrhea, and failure to thrive. Phytates also negatively affect iron. To avoid serious iron deficiencies, soy formulas are now heavily fortified with iron. So, end quote. So those are what phytates do. Like, you have, it's true, you know, there's vitamins and minerals in basically everything. But if they're not bioavailable, if your body's not absorbing them, do they even count? You know, I would say no.
Oh, yeah, definitely not. And that's one thing that a lot of people kind of miss is, yeah, so some of these plant foods, they do have a lot of minerals. Hey, this food is a good source of calcium. okay, spinach, they have a lot of calcium. You know what spinach also has? They have a lot of oxalates. So that calcium isn't bioavailable. So if it's not bioavailable, what's the point of eating that spinach? You're not getting the calcium from it. And that's the same true with like these phytates and soy. I mean, shit, soy seems to be like the ultimate anti-nutrient food. Like, if it has, like, the most of anything, it's probably anti-nutrients.
Yeah, it pretty much checks all the box. It has them all. And these aren't the only minerals that are a problem with soy formula. So, in 1980, investigators discovered two other mineral problems connected with soy infant formula. So, chloride deficiencies and manganese toxicity. So, in 1980, 13 infants between 2 and 10 months of age who had been fed a soy formula developed some condition, and the symptoms include lethargy, anorexia, spitting up, diarrhea, hematuria, which is blood in the urine, all responded properly and well to supplemental salt. One infant developed alkalosis when the supplemental salt was discontinued. Two of the 9 apparently normal infants on this formula were also diagnosed with hypochloremia. 3 of 4 infants on different formula based by Prosobe had low urine concentrations. The researchers concluded that the chloride content of some infant formulas was insufficient to offset salt losses following mild stress. So low in salt, and it's also way too high in manganese. So normal like milk formula has about 3 to 10 micrograms of manganese. Soy has 100 times that, so 300 micrograms of manganese. And that can be a problem because high manganese is associated with learning disabilities, attention deficit disorders, and behavioral disorders. Does that not sound like most of the kids these days?
Oh, yeah, 100%. And just to kind of touch on some of the symptoms that you were going through, like one thing that minerals do is they help balance out how much water or basically our bodies like hold on to. So like hydration levels, minerals are very important about that. But another thing they're really important about is our pH balance in our bodies. And that's what was going on with like these children. Like it seems like they were suffering from dehydration and their pH balance is all messed up. We need more to an alkaline state. Despite what the vegans want to tell you, being in that alkaline state is not good. Like we have a perfect pH balance that we need to stay in. And if you turn alkalosis, that is just as deadly as being acidosis. So you want your pH balance to be proper. And if you're low on minerals or too high in minerals, like your minerals are imbalanced, it could lead to dehydration, which is deadly, or your pH being messed up, which will also be deadly.
Yep, exactly. And the sugar source of formula matters as well. So a baby's body not only uses lactose for fuel, but it also helps create the myelin sheath, which kind of insulate our nerves and provide, you know, proper brain function, proper nervous development in our entire body. Human breast milk is naturally sweet because it contains lactose, or you can think of that as like human milk sugar. Lactose is broken down by the enzyme lactase, produced by virtually all infants, into galactose, which is a primary constituent of the myelin sheath. So lactose is therefore critical to the optimal development of the nervous system. And like I touched on it real quick in the intro, but most formulas will try and save money by using high fructose corn syrup or just sucrose table sugar instead of lactose. And that is a way they cut corners, and that really affects the development of our children. And that should be a problem, you know?
Yeah, like not all sugars are created equally. Like not all fats are created equally. And it's like, yeah, we need lactose. Breast milk has lactose for a reason. Honestly, if you're creating any sort of formula, your model should be human breast milk, and you should try to like recreate that perfectly.
Yep.
So trying to cut corners by, oh, sugar, it's like, no, it's not. These sugars have a special role in the body, especially during development. So yeah, like that's why children these days are going to be a lot sicker, and there's all sorts of development issues going on. It's because high fructose corn syrup is not the same thing as lactose.
Yeah, and the term lactose intolerance shouldn't be used for babies as an excuse to use a cheap carb replacement. The percentage of children actually lactose intolerant is very, very small. Like Tom said, human breast milk contains lactose. it's a perfectly natural thing for a baby to consume. Like if a baby, whatever, 300-400 years ago was truly lactose intolerant, did not contain the enzyme lactase, you know what happens to that baby? It's dead. You know, there are no other options.
Yeah, and what happens is, like, later on in life, when you stop consuming, like, breast milk, then you become lactose intolerant because your body doesn't have a reason to keep producing these lactase enzymes. So that's what happens later on in life. But we're born, we have lactase. Yeah. It's just that you don't keep lactase for your entire life.
Mm-hmm. And if your child does have a reaction to a cow's milk-based formula, it could be from the protein in the milk, but it's usually not from the lactose. The vast majority of time, lactose is not a problem for children. And like Tom said, because they produce that enzyme lactase, they're fine. And this is
we'll be talking about that more in the next like couple podcasts.
Yeah, exactly. We will. And I just wanted to touch on, like Tom said, a formula should be based, or at least try and mirror, human breast milk as much as possible, you know? Like, using these plant-based formulas to try and mix and match supplements, to try and get the ratios right to match milk, is very, very hard. We're talking about different operating systems. And, like I said, plants, these legumes, these soy beans, yeah, they have fats, yeah, they have proteins, yeah, they have vitamins and minerals, but they're not in the right proportions, and they're not bioavailable at all. Like, they're designed to support the life of a legume. Like, they're designed to support growth of a bean. They're not designed to promote growth of a human. Like, at least milk from cows is designed to support a cow from day one. It's designed to support muscle formation, bone formation, brain formation, all that type of stuff. And I get it. We're not cows. We're different than cows. But we are sure as shit a lot closer to cows than we are to a bean. You get what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, 100%. And a cow, like a cow's milk, is designed to keep another mammal alive. Soybeans and corn, like their mission statement is not to keep their predators alive and healthy. Like, they care about creating more corn and more soy. They don't give a shit about creating a healthy human being.
No.
So, like, it doesn't make any sense that we're trying to replace human breast milk with corn and soy.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's a great point. So, yeah, so just to touch on, like I said, you know, they have, soy does contain protein, but the protein quality, very, very low. It's not high quality protein at all. Soy is very high in phytoestrogens, which are, you can think of them like plant estrogens. Not good at all. Like, would you want to put your baby on the pill? No, you wouldn't. The carbs in soy do not get digested. Like, oligosaccharides, they cause bloating, they cause gas. Not a good thing. The fats in soy are very high in linoleic acid, which is an omega-6 fatty acid. Not a good thing. Soy doesn't contain EPA or DHA, which are long-chain omega-3 fatty acids, which are super vital for development. And especially, obviously, a growing baby, its brain is growing. It is very dependent on these fats. It needs them. You do not get them in soy at all.
Those are the essential omega-3 fatty acids. Uh-huh. Essential meaning you have to get them through your diet.
Yeah, our body cannot produce them. We need to get them from our diet. And breast milk is very high in cholesterol for a reason. 50% of its calories in breast milk comes from fat. You know it has no cholesterol? Soy. Okay, none at all. So that, again, is something that has to be replaced. It usually isn't. It's usually marketed as like a benefit, even though it's definitely not. And like I said, the vitamins and minerals are not in the right proportions. They are not absorbed right. So it's just, I don't know, we should be giving our babies a whole food-based formula, not this science experiment from this plant-based narrative that is not healthy.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah, and I want to touch on a term just real quick, is hypoallergenic. So that is usually used in the plant-based world. It's definitely used in the soy formula world as like a, I don't know, it's like a marketing term, as a buzzword. They go, oh, it's hypoallergenic. It's like serves this, it causes this, blah, blah, blah. But that term really means nothing in the soy formula world. Like, this term was used by John Harvey Kellogg, one of the Kellogg guys. If you've heard of, you know, everyone knows Kellogg's a brand. They started this stuff back in the day. And it was never hypoallergenic. It's not. It's just a marketing term that stuck and nobody kind of fights them on it.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, just kind of going through all the anti-nutrients and how harmful those effects are, it seems like it's very allergenic.
Yeah, it's very, very allergenic. So the complete opposite. But, you know, I'm going to forget this saying, but the quickest way to convince someone of everything is like repetition. So they've been saying this in like the early 1900s that soy, or late 1800s, really, that soy is hypoallergenic, and it just kind of stuck.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole, I guess, like, science between, like, behind, like, an advertisement, you know? So, like, one of the ones I can think of is, like, the whole milk ad from, like, the 90s, milk, it does the body good. Like, every time I think of milk, that's the phrase I think of. And it was just because repetitive, it's, like, burned into my brain. Mm-hmm. So that's what I think. With my dad, there's the whole Cheerios on their label, it says helps to lower cholesterol. So for the longest time, every time he sees his box of Cheerios, he thinks that it's going to help lower his cholesterol and be good for his heart. And it took me having repetitive conversations with him to convince him that, no, it's not good for your heart at all.
Yeah, exactly. So I guess we can use that tactic for us, at least.
Yeah, it's just annoying when the other side's got a lot more money.
Yeah, very true.
So if you already aren't convinced that soybeans are dangerous for us, the leading grower, or one of the leading growers of soybeans, is DuPont. You probably have heard of DuPont before. So not only do they grow a lot of it, but they produce many of the studies, quote unquote, if you really want to call them that, on the benefits of soy. Of course, if you're growing a product and you pay for studies to be on that product, they're more than likely going to be beneficial of your product, just saying. So you might be familiar with DuPont's stance on public health from the movie Aaron Brockovich, which is based on the true story where the title character exposes DuPont for poisoning public water and then trying to cover it up, and she has to do a bunch of investigative journalism to expose them. Yeah, that's not the company that I want in charge of deciding what is healthy, like, for me or for, like, babies or anybody else out there. They don't seem like they have the public good best interest at heart.
No. Once again, science and food science is corrupt, and DuPont is part of that problem.
So we talked about this plenty of times. I know we talked about it a lot in the soy podcast that we did a long time ago. So I'm just going to mention it briefly. Soy has goitrogens, which are bad for the thyroid. Japan is one of the leading consumers of soy, and thyroid disease is pretty common there. That's why the name Hashimoto's, which is hypothyroid, sounds Japanese. That's because it is. That's where they discovered it. It's named after the scientist who discovered Hashimoto's, so he named it after himself. So yeah, that's why it sounds Japanese, is because it's, a lot of people in Japan have thyroid disease, hypothyroid, so that's how that name came to be. And just 30 grams a day is enough to damage the thyroid of an adult, and there's more than 30 grams of soy in baby formula. So that just kind of goes to show you that, yeah, we're probably not helping our children develop healthy thyroids from the very beginning.
Yeah, 30 grams is nothing.
Yeah, and that's enough to damage us.
Mm-hmm.
How much a baby is, what, 20 times smaller than most adults? Mm-hmm. 10 times smaller than most adults, depending on the age? So that'd be like you consuming 300 grams.
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah. So I have a little trivia for you. There are at least 20 known plants that contain phytoestrogens. How many of those plants do you think people eat?
God, I don't know. I know we eat soy.
Yeah, that's the only one. Isn't that crazy? Like, mm-hmm. Hey, there's probably a lot more than 20 plants that contain phytoestrogens. But, like, just hearing that, it's like, oh, shit, like, that's the only one we consider food? And that's because, honestly, Americans are just stupid. We produce a lot of the soy, so we just try and find ways to make it healthy, make it edible. And it's not. The plant's been telling us forever that it's not healthy. And phytoestrogens, like, they don't play around. They're not trying to help you, or they're not trying to just damage your gut like lectins do. They don't just bind to minerals like phytates do. No, they go after your reproductive health. They're like, you are never going to be able to reproduce again. They're trying to, like, make their predators extinct. So phytoestrogens, like, in this case, it's isoflavonoids. You probably heard isoflavonoids. If you haven't, I'm going to make you very familiar with that term, because I'm going to mention it a lot. So they're harmful to the body in two different ways. First, they bind to estrogen receptors in place of estrogen. So basically, it makes estrogen worthless because it's no longer able to do its job. Second, what it does is it inhibits estrogen production because now your body thinks that you have too much estrogen because you have a lot of this free-floating estrogen, so it stops producing it. But since that estrogen is not doing its job, it's just kind of worthless. So now, like, estrogen is no longer able to function. So that's one way. The another thing that isoflavonoids do is they lower testosterone. So now you have estrogen that's considered worthless. You have low testosterone. That basically just kills your reproductive health. You have no sex drive. And if you do even have a sex drive, you're probably going to have too low sperm count, or your egg quality is going to be very, very low if you're even able to have a period at all if you're a woman. So basically, it's going to make it almost impossible to reproduce. Side note. Soy is a favorite food for monks for this very reason, because it kills your sex drive and it makes it a lot easier to stay celibate. So, like, that's one population that should be pro-soy if, like, having sex is out of the question for you. It's a good thing. That's kind of like what Tyson was talking about with Kellogg's. That was, like, his goal in life was to kill people's sex drive. So, yeah, soy should be popular with them, but if you're trying to be a healthy human being, reproduce, and keep the human species going longer, yeah, you don't want soy to be anywhere near you.
Yeah, I mean, just close your eyes and picture, like, a monk right now, you know? You ever seen a real, like, tall, jacked monk in your life? No, you know? It's just not a thing.
Yeah, they're definitely not, like, the pillars of health.
Yeah, not at all. Not saying anything wrong with being a monk. You know, you want to do your thing and be celibate. I can care less. Go ahead. But it's not healthy.
Isoflavonoids are so powerful at damaging reproductive health that they've actually been studied as a form of birth control. But the trials had to stop because the side effects were very severe and were so similar to the pill that they decided just to stop it altogether, because they're like, what's the point? We already have a drug to create these side effects. We don't need another one. And if you want to know more about how bad the pill is, we have a whole podcast on that. But just to kind of go over it briefly, it kills your thyroid just like soy. It damages your reproductive health just like soy. It throws your, like, estrogen testosterone balance way off just like soy. So I just kind of summed it up. Like, soy, the birth control pill, they're one and the same.
Yep.
And soy formula, so soy baby formula, contains 130,000 times more isoflavonoids than human milk. Human breast milk just sounds kind of repetitive, so I kind of shorten it to human milk. Yeah, so 130,000 times. So yeah, that cannot be good. So the amount of isoflavonoids in soy formula is equivalent to 3 to 5 birth control pills. That's crazy. So, like, an adult woman is taking one a day. We're feeding our babies 3 to 5 a day.
I just
kind of, like, let that sink in a little bit. Doesn't that just sound completely absurd?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, too. Let that sink in. Like, and again, it goes back to the proportions being out of whack, trying to get, like, a plant-based food for mammals. It's like, yeah, does milk contain isoflavones? Yeah, but not that much. 130,000 times less, you know? So it's just the ratios are so out of whack that it's causing harm.
Yeah, like 130,000 times more of something that we shouldn't be consuming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's just staggering. And one thing that most people are very familiar with is children are reaching puberty earlier and earlier. Some people want to say it's because of, like, things like the Disney Channel showing, like, attractive people on there. So we're exposing our children to, like, attractive people. So it's getting them exposed to puberty earlier. I think it has probably a lot to do with these isoflavonoids that we keep putting in our food source. And I don't want to say that plastics, give them a pass, because I think plastics contribute to this. I think our drinking water contributes to this because there's a shit ton of toxins in that. Thank you, DuPont, for that, too.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, just like our like beauty products, stuff like the shampoo you're using is probably having these phytoestrogens in it as well. But the best way to get into your body is going to be eating that food. So I think the soy is probably the leading cause of this. Yeah, there are other sources, but definitely soy is going to be the biggest one.
Yeah, so just like, I think that's huge to say. Like, the average, like, age for puberty back in the day, 100 years ago, was 16 to 17, which sounds about right, you know, when you should be able to actually reproduce. Now, for girls, it's 12 to 13. Like, a 12-year-old should not be able to get pregnant.
Yeah, that's crazy. And yeah, boys are reaching puberty a lot earlier, too. There's just not that clear, like, distinction like girls have, like, with their period, to kind of make, like, a deciding factor. But yeah, girls are starting to hit puberty earlier and earlier and earlier. That just getting your period is a sign that you're in puberty, but that's not, like, the first sign of puberty. Like, the first sign of hitting puberty for women, or for girls at this point, is developing breasts, and they're getting puberty, like, at the age of 7 now. Like, that's crazy. They're in elementary school going through puberty, when in reality, they shouldn't be hitting puberty until they're in middle school, high school.
Yeah, it's just, it's a huge problem, but it's become so normal, people don't even really think about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's, yeah, it's just so common everywhere that people don't know what's normal and what, how humans are supposed to develop anymore, and it's a real shame.
Yeah.
So, another thing that isoflavonoids do is, besides just completely throw our hormones all out of whack at a very early age, they're very harmful for a developing brain. They inhibit the enzyme tyrosine kinase, which is needed by the hippocampus. So the hippocampus is the area of the brain responsible for memory and learning. So maybe that has something to do with why so many children nowadays have memory issues and learning disabilities. It's because they've been fed soy at such an early age that they're not able to properly create these memories and have a proper like learning system, because tyrosine kinase is inhibited because of isoflavonoids in soy. Soy, again, just destroying our children's health. And if that's not enough for you, isoflavonoids also inhibit DNA synthetase, which prevents the creation of new brain cells. So if you have some brain damage going on, or hey, like you're a child, you have a developing brain, if you're not able to create a bunch of new brain cells, you're probably going to have some issues there. So maybe that's why things like autism are developing, or growing, and a whole bunch of other, there's like so many other like learning disabilities and developmental issues that are hitting our children at earlier and earlier ages. Maybe it's because we're consuming foods that we are never supposed to consume. Like, soy's been telling us it has all these anti-nutrients there. Don't eat me. But for whatever reason, we just keep ignoring them and eat the hell out of them.
Yeah, it's not politically correct, but that's probably why you go to the grocery store, you go to whatever Toys R Us, if that's even a thing still, and you just see kids that suck. There are a lot of kids out there that are crying, flipping out, throwing tantrums. You're like, man, that parents need to do better. They need to raise their kids better. But if you're feeding your kids all this crap and their brain can't properly develop, yeah, they're probably going to throw tantrums. Yeah, they're probably not going to behave. Yeah, they're probably going to have like ADHD. Like, it's just, this is really affecting kids these days. Like, I don't think kids naturally want to suck. You know, they probably want to be decent, but we're not giving them the proper fuel to grow properly.
Yeah, if you don't have the right building materials, you don't have getting the right hormones to like do all this thing, like, yeah, you're going to have so many developmental issues. And I think like autism, it's on the rise. So many more schools are having special education programs, and those education programs have to keep growing because more and more children are entering those programs. So it's like, man, like there's clearly an issue going on. Whatever we're currently doing is not working. So we need to change it.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. So just to kind of conclude this whole podcast and how bad soy baby formula is, soy formula has had a negative effect on every single test animal that has had the misfortune of being exposed to it. I feel bad that we have to test this stuff on animals. But yeah, we should pay attention to those tests. Every animal has had severe side effects. So maybe we should stop using it. It's bad for the thyroid. It's bad for the brain, and it's bad for the reproductive health and development of all these organs, too. So, basically, we should not be consuming soy, especially feeding it to our babies.
It's just, I mean, I think that's the conclusion right there. Boom. One sentence. We should not be eating soy. Should we be using soy as a cover crop in, like, as far as regenerative agriculture, like in between animals, getting nitrogen to the ground, making our soil healthy, 1,000%. In that case, I am super pro soy. But to dig this shit up, process it a million different ways from Sunday, and then feed it to our kids, I'm not on board with that. And honestly, nobody should be.
Yeah, the like ancient Chinese symbol for soy is looking at its roots, not at the bean. So that's just how they viewed it. They viewed it as giving to the soil. They didn't view it as a food.
But now we do everything we can to feed it because it's cheap, because the industry makes a ton of money off of it, and it's sad. I really hope, you know, if you're thinking of starting a family, if you know anybody out there who's actually using soy formula, please share this podcast with them and tell them to listen to the series, because next week we'll give them healthier alternatives, and then we'll talk about weaning after that as far as on the whole foods. So there are better options out there, 1,000,000% better options out there. Soy is not your only answer. And listen next week and we'll break down that more.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't even touch on some of the like really sad stories of like a bunch of vegans and vegetarian parents that have fed their babies only soy formula. And unfortunately, there's been cases where the baby died because they were so malnourished. Like, I didn't really want to talk about like a lot of those stories because it is very depressing and very sad. But yeah, soy formula is not a complete food. Nobody should be giving that to their baby. There's so many healthier alternatives. And we'll talk about those in the next couple weeks.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's another podcast in the books. Thank you for listening. You can find us at TNTWellnessAndNutrition.com. You can find us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. So feel free to reach out anytime.
Yeah. Please rate and subscribe on your favorite podcast provider and share this podcast with a friend or family member. You can find us pretty much anywhere podcasts are found. That's Apple Podcasts, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and YouTube. Hope everybody has a happy and healthy week.